I think it comes from a heart for service. I think it comes from a heart to defend our freedoms. It may come from a lot of places. There's a lot of family connections. There's a lot of values. But our American veterans, I think overall, serve because of you, because of their families, because they care about you and are protecting your freedoms as much as anybody else's. Welcome. It's From Montana for Montana, our special veterans show live from the West End Perkins in Billings, Montana, on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate that. A bit later on, let me tell you, we'll be talking with Cinnamon Davis Hall. She is from the Kalispell area, that Northwest Montana stand down and food pantry. They have been doing this for 20 years, and I think that's an organization. As I was chatting with Linda and Alan, who began that at the Erickson's years ago, I think that kickstarted service organizations in Montana, recognizing some needs to serve our veterans. Today, as we honor our veterans, I want to thank the Perkins here in Billings, Montana, which is where we're at live statewide, because they are serving a free all-American breakfast to all our fighting men and women. Kevin Steinberg, thank you for that service. We're here at Perkins, as I mentioned. The Cinnamon's going to be here a bit later on. We're going to talk also with James Hawkins, because one of the things that we cannot not talk about is how perhaps we have not cared for our servicemen and women like we have needed to, in especially in the areas of mental health. Scott Fredericks is with me here too, and he is a guy, he's one of my Toro heroes. Yeah. On our affiliate there in Billings here for Desert Mountain Broadcasting. We were just here for just several hours, Scott, and doing a local program. Thank you for lining that up, and thank you too for your heart for veterans. Where'd that come from?
Well, Tom, thank you. This is one of my favorite days of the whole year, Veterans Day. But it all came back, about a few years back, when the state of Montana wrapped their arms around World War II veterans and sent 9 planes back to Washington, D.C. so our World War II vets could see their memorial. 9 planes. The people of the state of Montana gave over $1.5 million to pick up the tab for the plane ride, the hotel rooms, the buses, everything. So that's where my passion comes from.
There's a gentleman alongside us here, and we'll get right into this here, Miguel Gonzalez, a veteran himself. Thank you for your service, Miguel.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you having me on today.
Founder of Warrior Wishes, and that's warriorwishesmontana.com. A recognition of the needs and of the varying needs that veterans have.
Definitely. You know, anything outside of what the VA and the Vet Center can provide is what Warrior Wishes Montana is all about. And we provide services such as bill pay, backpacks for school kids, Vets Giving meals that we're going to be handing out here shortly. Those are the things that keep our soldiers moving in the right direction, in a positive direction, so that they don't slip in between the cracks. The number one thing is for me is to make sure that they're not forgotten and that they don't get away from us.
I think that's important, too, and recognizing all those various needs. Like you mentioned a few of them, but what can you do? What do you do? What are some of those unique needs that veterans have?
The uniqueness is once we leave the service of the military, we don't have that camaraderie anymore that we used to share on a daily basis, year in, year out. And it's all gone. Well, once you ETS and you receive that piece of paper that says DD-214 on the bottom of it, you're basically on your own from there on. So not only do we provide the services that I mentioned earlier, but we also want to get veterans back together again so we can start communicating and bring all of those things out. It's going to come out eventually on their own time, and I'm aware of that, and I'm okay with that. But if you can get veterans talking and communicating, even if you hadn't served with them, It brings such a light to their hearts.
What's the biggest need, Miguel?
You know, I think recognition for all branches of service, including our Vietnam vets, who really did not get a fair shake when they got back from service. And a lot of them became reclusive. A lot of them didn't want to talk about it anymore. And I fully understand that. But I'm glad that times have changed. People have changed. And I want to enforce both sides of that and bring those guys back out and say, look, what you did was the exact same thing we did. You just did it 20, 30 years earlier.
Yeah.
So there's no difference in between what they did and what I had to do. Just the camaraderie alone is enough to get them out of the doorway and of the closet and say, okay, I can come out. I can feel safe. I can be okay with crowds. That's huge.
I want to talk about some of the logistics, kind of the X's and O's about what veterans need to do to sign up for services through Warrior Wishes Montana.
Well, if you go to our website, warriorwishesmontana.com, you'll see a tab there that'll take you to becoming a member of us. But shop around on our website. Don't be afraid to look around and see what we're all about. We're here to help each other. And that's the one thing that I think is most important is veterans helping veterans. Once we can get beyond that, then we can accept the civilian community, if you will.
As Scott shared a story of how he became impassioned to serve veterans, your service impassioned you to serve veterans.
Correct. You know, when I left the military for the last time in 2009, it was due to injuries that I sustained on the battlefield. Given those injuries, I was unable to go back to my civilian job. I was unable to go stay in the military, and I had to find something else to do. And being able to find those things that are available to me as a veteran, a combat veteran, helped me to sustain my personality and who I am. And I didn't have to lose myself.
And your service was rather unique, Miguel.
It was. You know, I was part of an internment facility in Baghdad. Camp Cropper was the place where all of the top notables for Saddam Hussein's regime was kept. So I seen him on a daily basis. I didn't see Saddam, of course. He was already taken care of 6 months before I got there. But other ones that came through, I knew who they were because we were given ID checks and stuff. And it was unique in the sense that once they were brought in, they were given their questions that they needed to answer. And if the military of the Iraqi people found them guilty and decided that they were deemed to be put to death, then I'm the one that basically put the flex cuffs on their back and put the hood over their head and probably was the last person to see them alive.
And given that, there was probably, you probably carry that about every day. How did you heal from that? How can other veterans heal from their experiences, which may have put them in very compromising situations?
I don't think that something such as that is healable when you have PTSD. Mm-hmm. I have what we called the triggers, and we talked about that before. Things that might be brought up, or a person that might look like so and so. That comes to my forefront all the time, even driving in traffic. You know, when I first got back for the first year, I'd never turned on my blinker because I didn't want people to know where I was going.
Really? Yeah.
And people would laugh about that, but in reality, it was something that it was programmed.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing a person standing over the top of a bridge on the highway freaked me out. Just little things. So I don't know that a person can actually heal from it. You learn to deal with it, and you learn to try to overcome as best as you possibly can. Knowing that you're back home now and people are not here to hurt you, they're here to help you, makes it a lot easier. And I think that's why it's important for me to get veterans together to communicate and say, look, buddy, it's okay. You can have a battle buddy on the field. You can have a battle buddy out here. And it all works the same.
What's the length of that process?
I don't know. I don't know if I could honestly answer that because I've been dealing with it now for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I've seen an end in sight or ever felt that there was an end in sight to where I could say, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about that no more. You just never know.
WarriorWishesMontana.com. Miguel Gonzalez with us here, the founder of that organization. You go to your website and you recognize, you put it right up there, we are volunteers.
Correct.
If people are donating time, services, money, 96% go to the veterans.
Correct.
That's rather remarkable.
I think it's huge in the market that we're in. If you're doing something as such as a nonprofit and you're making money, you're not doing it for the right reasons, in my mind and in my heart. I don't have to worry about the donations to make a living on. I get compensated well enough, and I think most of us do, and that's why we do it on a volunteer basis. I want to give the maximum amount back to the veterans so that they can utilize anything that we're able to do for them and not have to worry about, I can only give you $50 towards this. I want to pay that thing off in full, and 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what we do. We just pay it off.
You know, Miguel, how have the folks in Montana wrapped their arms around your organization?
I love the people here. I always have. I'm so blessed to have been born and raised in Montana, and this is why I give exactly everything back to Montana. I don't take any of the donations and shop out of state. It's not that I don't care about other veterans, because I do, but I want to take care of our own first. And Billings and the surrounding areas and the other cities have been phenomenal this year in helping me to put the money in the account that I need to get between here and next summer when I start ramping up again to make more money.
Anybody from around the state can contact you guys?
Anybody. Yeah. It doesn't matter. If you've got a DD-214 or you got an ID card or you got a VA card, that's all it takes.
Well, what was your branch of service?
I was in the Army.
Oh, do you know the Army song?
No.
Ah.
I don't want him to sing it.
Okay. Well, I will. No, I won't. But we're going to roll into this break here shortly with the Army goes rolling along, just to honor our Army veterans. I think one of the things that comes out of service is, you know, the brotherhood, the connection.
Correct. Yes, definitely.
And who comes to mind? Who was a buddy? Who was a friend?
They're all friends.
They're all friends.
You know, I never met somebody I didn't already know when you're in the military.
Did you give a nickname that stuck to somebody?
I did. There was one individual that had pure white hair, wasn't even old enough to have it, and I named him Q-Tip.
Was he thrilled about that?
No.
No, okay. What was your nickname?
I can't say it on the air. I'll tell you off air, though.
Okay. Well, that's safe. I appreciate that. WarriorWishesMontana.com.
Correct.
What's next for you guys?
On the 23rd, we've got a thing that I've been doing now for the last 5 years. Scott and I discussed it before a couple of weeks ago, and I call it Vets Giving.
Yeah.
I was actually fortunate enough to name my own own thing. So I do call it Vets Giving. We're on our fifth consecutive straight year, and thank you for everything that everybody's ever donated to us, because that's where that money has been going.
Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate it so much.
Appreciate you guys.
Thank you for having me. That's Miguel Gonzalez, WarriorWishesMontana.com for more information. Thank you for your service, and again,
Tom, thank
God bless you.
Appreciate
that. We do pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month. AARP wants to thank all those in uniform for their service and sacrifice, and salute the nonprofit organizations whose missions is to serve those who have served this great country. As we spoke with, Warrior Wishes Montana is one of those. Today, AARP is recognizing as well Mending Waters Montana, which is out of Helena, Montana. Mending Waters Montana, devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of veterans through fly tying, fly fishing, and outings like that. For more information on veterans resources, please visit aarp.org/mtvets. Here's the Army goes rolling along, and we'll roll back with more here in just a bit as James Hawkins joins us with more from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana.
As we pay tribute to our nation's heroes during Veterans Month, AARP Montana wants to thank all those in uniform, along with their families, for their service and sacrifice. As a way of expressing gratitude for defending our freedom, AARP has set up a special free resource site dedicated to Montana veterans and military families. Because veterans often face a unique set of challenges as they age or retire. Find this special free resource site online at aarp.org/mtvets.
Oh, you guys recognize this one, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is the official fight song of the United States Naval Academy. It's called Anchors Away. The song was first played during the Army-Navy football game on December 1st, 1906. That was at Franklin Field in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Navy, James.
Yeah,
Navy won
you.
That game 10 to nothing. There was an excess crowd of 3,000 in that first ever matchup, and that was in 1900. We're back live from Montana for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz, Scott Fredericks is with us here. He is from our affiliate, our Northern News affiliate, Mountain West Broadcasting in Billings. Just got done with a three-hour show. Scott, thank you for being here and staying on.
And, you know, I learned so much more than I thought I knew most of what we were going to be talking about. I learned so much more. Every time I spend time with veterans, I just, you know, the knowledge just goes through the roof. So it's one of my favorite days of the year.
Got an Army veteran here. That's why I apologize to him for his Army losing the Navy. That was a long time ago. You had nothing to do with that, James.
Rub it in.
Yeah, yeah. James Hawkins, American Legion Post 4, Honor Guard there. But we're here to talk about something that is near and dear to you, something that's very important that we make progress on. I think progress is being made, but veterans who have who are suffering through PTSD or other mental health issues, James.
Yes, sir. It's something that I've been grappling with for about the last 8 years and trying to get my hand around why those numbers continue to go up. And it's just very frustrating. According to the Watson Institute at Brown University, it was kind of task by the federal government to monitor what happened after the post-11 incidents. We've lost 7,052 members in wartime casualties, but in that same time frame, we've lost 30,177 men and women to suicide. In the last 12 months, we've actually lost 49 women to suicide, and it just troubles me, and those numbers continue to go up. Currently, they state we lose about 22 veterans a day. If you can really get your mind around that, every day, 22 men and women commit suicide in this country that have served our country. And Montana runs the highest in the nation. Currently, over the last 12 months, according to the Behavioral Health Unit here in Billings at the VA clinic, we're at 26. 26 veterans have taken their life. And it's just something I hope collectively as a state here in Montana, you know, we're very family-orientated, we can kind of push our legislators to see what else we can do to try to turn those numbers around.
That's a gut punch to hear those numbers. And I repeat those numbers, too, because it ought to hit us real hard in that regard. What can we do from that policy standpoint to improve that?
Well, you know, there's one area that I've been pushing for about the last 2 years, and it's called moral injury. And I kind of stumbled upon it when I had a veteran talking to me about it and then overheard some therapists talking about something they were trying to push to get more attention drawn to. And when you think about Montana, a very religious, very Christian-based state, very family-orientated, and you look at the definition of moral injury, it hits all those points. And I think that's the one area that the VA is just now, I just heard from the Behavioral Health Unit yesterday, they issued a pamphlet that talks about moral injury, and they want veterans that feel that might be an issue for them under the category of PTSD to start talking about that with their therapist. And I know there's a therapist here, Ms. Aronson, who's trying to put together now groups of men that feel they may be suffering from that to sit down and talk about it. It's not currently in the DSM. It's not currently considered a disability. But when you talk to veterans and you hear about some of the things they went through, moral injury is an issue. It is something that plagues them, especially when they come from a Christian-based background, a very family-oriented background, and then they go to war and see and have to do some of the things that they do.
There was a specific story you related.
Yes, sir. Yes,
go
sir.
Ahead.
Yeah, there was a young man who was a truck driver, and he came back, and he was drinking a lot. He had a couple accidents, one almost killing his girlfriend, and he reached out to his family and said, you know, I think I need counseling. His dad, you know, man's man, said, what are you talking about? You were a truck driver. Tried to talk about it with his brother. His brother kind of laughed it off. And he was struggling. He didn't know what to do. And I started speaking to him, and it took me about 6 months. But finally, he shared with me. He was a truck driver. He never was shot at. He never shot at anybody. But he's driving the truck one night through Iraq. And a couple of a woman and two children jumped out in front of him. He started downshifting the truck to stop. And his commanding officer sitting in the front seat said, no, you can't stop. You got to continue driving. And he said, but sir, it's a woman and children. He goes, we also have a truck full of, you know, your fellow soldiers. You want to risk their life, yours and mine, to stop this truck. This could be a ploy. He had to run over him. And that happened twice
while he was in Iraq, and he was struggling with that. You know, he was a young man, 23 years old, and he was struggling with that when he came back. That, to me, falls under the category of moral injury. He didn't know what to do, who to talk to. Finally, we got him into counseling. He stopped drinking. He got married, has a couple of children. He's doing fantastic. But until he allowed himself to share it with his family, allowed them to accept what he had did and not chastise him or you know, say you did something immoral, they accepted him, wrapped around him, said, we didn't know you'd went through something like this. He started going through the counseling. He is being counseled under the PTSD category, but they now do have a line item called moral injury, and they're trying to include that in an actual focus of injury for our veterans. And I hope that push continues. I hope it's something that's created a dialogue within the therapists and the counseling community so we can bring that up, because I think in my 8 years of volunteering and talking to veterans, that is a key point in helping to correct and remap the brain and that thought process of what they go through in a wartime environment.
And from a policy standpoint, and I'm just going to bring this up and play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Couldn't all of war then be considered a moral injury?
Exactly, and that's why they're having a hard time categorizing it as a separate discipline under mental illness. They're kind of lumping it under the PTSD category. But, you know, with them publishing this new pamphlet and getting it out there to the therapist, having them talk about it within the military community, I think it's something that is starting to make waves. It was first coined back in the early 1990s, believe it or not, by a psychiatrist in Texas. And he kind of came up with it, grappled with it, wrote some papers on it. And since then, it's kind of been trickling through the mental health counseling facilities within VA. And it's just now, we're just now getting pamphlets out, where we're starting to categorize that as an issue that we need to discuss with veterans. And I just think, especially, you know, Montana has the highest suicide rate in the nation for veterans. Think about that for a minute. We have the highest suicide rate. We're behind Texas. We have about 30,000 veterans here. Texas has the most, but their suicide rate is substantially lower than ours. Why is that? Why is that?
Yeah.
You know, there's something missing that we have to figure out. And
resources. You know, it might be resources.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so, those are this veteran suicide awareness campaign that I'm pushing so much in Montana. You know, we're such a close-knit state. We really support each other, and hopefully, collectively as a state, we can start to change those numbers. I want anybody listening to reach out to the legislators, put some pressure on them, tell them we need to do more. Let's see if we can't stop that number and reduce it and not be the number one state in the nation for veteran suicide.
James Hawkins is a mental health advocate for our veterans, American Legion Post number 4 Honor Guard as well.
So, James, why do you think it took the VA so long to get to the point they're at right now with PTSD?
Well, you know, I think one of those things was that it's not what they use PTSD with to categorize it. It's a fear-based illness. When you have PTSD and you're suffering from wartime environment situations, an immense amount of fear comes over you. They don't categorize moral injury as a fear-based illness. I do. When I talked to this young man, he was afraid to talk to his family about what he did. He was afraid to share it with his friends and family. Now, it's not the same as sitting next to a buddy of yours in a wartime environment and seeing them get killed. But their fear, if they didn't feel they had the support network of their family, they do lead to committing suicide. That fear of sharing their story with their family and friends is no different from a veteran that's suffering from what he went through and he's experiencing the fear of a wartime environment. I believe there's a connection there, and I believe that that is an area we need to focus on, apply more resources, allow the therapist to receive the training and the outreach workers to discuss those issues, because I do believe that it's a significant point in trying to turn these numbers around. And there would be nothing better that if we could identify that, really start talking about it in a therapeutic setting, and see those numbers reduce. Just think about that. If just we started addressing the moral injury component and we started seeing those numbers reduced, what we could do on a national scale to reduce the number of suicides.
There's been progress made, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There has been. They're now producing the pamphlet. The Behavioral Health Unit here in Billings, Ms. Aronson, is trying to put together like a focus group, veterans that feel they may be suffering from this, so they can get together collectively as a group and talk about it and share their stories. She's having a really hard time getting veterans to commit to coming in and doing that. I now, you know, would ask the community, if you feel you have veterans out there that may be suffering from this issue, to reach out to the Behavioral Health Unit here in Billings and see if they can't put a support group together so that these people can sit in an environment where they can all share their stories and help reduce those stress levels and those triggers that may lead to them taking their life.
we have a statewide audience, and you mentioned the Helena Vet Center has stepped up in this regard as well.
The Helena Vet Center is kind of the command post for the state. A lot of the resources are triggered and initiated initially at Fort Harrison and then distributed without in the, within the community. And, you know, if you don't have an area local to your community where you can talk to somebody or have the resources available, reach out to Fort Harrison. They'll direct you. They'll talk to you. They do have, you know, video conferencing now where you can sit in front of your phone or your laptop or your desktop computer and you can receive the appropriate mental health counseling and guidance. And don't hesitate if you have a family member. If it isn't the vet that's initiating it, sometimes they're very withdrawn. They stay to themselves. They don't share any of their issues. If you identify that, if you see it within your family, reach out. Reach out and get those resources involved in your veterans.
We've got a minute and a half here.
Yes, sir.
The progress being made, talk to veterans who may be hesitant. You kind of addressed that a little bit. But it's not like they're going to rake you over the coals. They're going to come in and talk with you, and maybe that's all you need is just a little bit of tool sharpening.
That's right. You know, give yourself the opportunity to heal. You know, start, you know, with whatever you feel comfortable with. You don't have to solve the problem in one day, one week, one month, but allow yourself the opportunity to cure yourself from that mapping that you've went through in your brain that's preventing you from living your life. You have served this country in the most noble capacity you can.
Yeah.
Now, allow yourself the opportunity to heal. Reach out. Get some help.
James, with you on their side, they stand a good chance.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. That's James Hawkins.
Tom and Scott, I appreciate your time. Desert Mountain Broadcasting, Perkins here for letting us do this. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity.
All right, we'll be back with more. We are going to go to Kalispell next and talk with folks of the, I think they started a surge 20 years ago, the Northwest Montana Stand Down and Food Pantry. They've got camps, a lot upcoming there. This, by the way, the U.S. Coast Guard theme song. We're back with more voices in a bit.
Hunters, as we get into big game season, we'd like to remind you that we're all stewards of an incredible resource and that ethical hunting ensures we get to keep doing what we love. Respecting private landowners and the access they provide is more important than ever. The positive relationships and interactions between hunters and landowners pays dividends down the road for all recreationists. Remember, respect land, landowners, wildlife. Pass it on. Learn more at fwp.mt.gov/pass it on.
Thank you for joining us here. We are live at Perkins and Billings. They've been doing this for 13 years, honoring veterans. Free All-American breakfast. This, by the way, is the U.S. Air Force official song. You kind of want to sing it, don't you? Well, I got lyrics here, too. Off we go.
I'm holding myself back.
Are you good? That's a good thing. You're audience aware. This is called The Wild Blue Yonder. During World War II, the service was renamed Army Air Forces. It didn't start as its own branch until 1947. It became a separate service when the song was retitled then the U.S. Air Force. We're going to do the Marine song here in just a little bit, and we've got a Marine standing by. Let's just go with him here. Al Ward, you know him from AARP, does Fraud Watch Fridays with us, president of the AARP Montana. Just impressed, Al. By the way, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you've done. Not just, you know, you were a law enforcement officer for a lot of years as well. You took what the Marines taught you and continued to serve. Yeah.
That's semper fidelis, you know, always faithful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have you stand by because there are services I want to have you talk about here. But we're getting hooked up, and I think we are now, with Cinnamon Davis Hall. She is with the Northwest Montana Stand Down. The official name is Northwest Montana Veterans Food Pantry and Stand Down. It was founded many years ago, 21 years ago, by Alan and Linda Erickson, Cinnamon's parents. And Cinnamon now works alongside them and just a ton of veterans and dedicated servants up there. Cinnamon, are you there with us?
I am. Thanks for having me, Tom.
thank you for being here, and thank you for what you guys do up there. I kind of want to start by going back 21 years ago, because I was aware, was sort of working in those circles a little bit, of what you guys did. You just started out humbly with a stand down, and from there it has grown tremendously.
Yeah, 21 years ago, Alan found himself situational, a disabled veteran, and he became disabled, raised six kids, and here in Kalispell, Montana, and he was unable to work, and he couldn't find any resources to help him as a veteran, and he was using the Spokane VA, and they suggested that he had a first stand down. So he had his first stand down, and he was kind of bored, and Linda was working, his wife, and his daughter, Ginger, who's my sister, because I'm Cinnamon, and she said, Dad, you need a hobby. So he went and he started finding veterans out in the woods and bringing them in, and he started the Veterans Food Pantry as a resource center so he could help all the time. So once a year, he has the stand down. We all get together. Alan and Linda put on the stand down in Libby, but year round, he runs the Veterans Food Pantry. He's still the president and CEO, and Linda's the director of programs. And it just started out small, and they would go to Washington, D.C. and petition for more services. And then throughout the 20 years, we've seen a lot more services come into our valley. And I believe it's because they have shown Washington, D.C. and everybody in the world that, yes, we do have veterans in Montana, and yes, we do need services here in Montana. And as the valley is growing, we are getting more services for everybody, including our veterans, which has been so helpful because it makes it to where we have resources that we can send veterans to, because we can't do everything to take care of the veteran, but we can always refer them to another service. So we have, for our homeless veterans, we have showers. They can come in and take a shower. They can do their laundry if they need to. They get a food box monthly. And this time of year, Christmas time and Thanksgiving time, we give them a holiday box that's on top of their regular box. But then we have Santa's workshop where they can get a new Christmas present. And then we have one to wear, one to wash, where they get new clothing. And we have a thrift store, which helps pay the heat and lights on the building. And lots of services that we provide, and it all stemmed from him having a passion and he had a need, and that's where that all stemmed from.
Cinnamon, Scott Fredericks from Billings, Montana. How have you seen this organization grow?
In 2010, we were donated from an anonymous donor a new building, and we were working before that out of three Quonset huts. And we were feeding about 68 veterans a month, and now we're over 300 veterans coming in, and that's just for the food boxes, not counting our other services. We have durable medical supplies, and how that stemmed was veterans and different people in the community would give us medical equipment like wheelchairs, walkers, bath benches, and the veteran might have had medical insurance, but the spouse didn't. So they could borrow those medical equipment from us for 170 days for free, and they can keep it even longer if they really need it. We don't mind. We even have hospital beds. And so we were able to give them that, so they were able to borrow medical equipment so they could save funds and not have to purchase stuff. And so that's how we started the durable medical equipment. And now we're feeding about over 300 a month from the 68.
This was like when you guys started two decades ago, and now I see there are different veterans organizations. Mentioned one today, Mending Waters of Montana, Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation. There's Horses, Spirits, Healing. They're all over. I'm giving you guys credit because I think what you guys started has spread. And I know you guys don't do it for a pat on the back, but I think I say that to ask this question. When Alan and Linda began the program for the veteran stand down and the food pantry, you didn't have plans to be a huge organization that is giving away, you know, even medical devices at this point. You guys just started humbly by one step.
It is very humbling, and it's also humbling because we find that our veterans, especially Alan in the beginning, he never asked for help, and he would leave it for the next guy because the next guy would need it more. And a family joke that we used to have is Dad would take the shirt off our back to give to somebody that needed it because he knew Mom would get us a new one. And so that was kind of a family joke that we used to have, but it's made us, even as a family, to where we appreciate those little things. And it's been good for the whole family to volunteer, and they all come to our stand downs too. Even the great grandkids come and volunteer and help out at the stand down and help veterans. We have a new program. It just kind of started. We had a organization that came to us and said, we're revamping our computers and our business. Do any of your clients need computers? So we have asked our clients, and by Thanksgiving, we will probably have about 40 computers and laptops that will be given to clients. And that organization has worked with their IT to fix them up. And that's going to empower our veterans because they need them so they can get online and they can look at their medical records, maybe see, have doctor's appointments, and be able to talk to their family online. And they never had that before. So it's really awesome when we get different programs and different people that donate stuff where we can help empower our veterans to know that we're not there for giving them freebies. We're there to give them a helping hand up. And that's always been the motto of the Veterans Food Pantry, is giving a helping hand up, not a handout, because we want to empower them to keep looking and reaching and going forward in life.
Cinnamon Davis Hall, Northwest Montana Veterans Food Pantry and Stand Down. The community has embraced the effort that you guys began in a big way when you talk about Camp Ponderosa. And so please talk about Camp Ponderosa.
So a couple of years ago, Alan and Linda found that the Veterans Food Pantry was kind of taking care of its own. So there was an opportunity to lease 79 acres out in the Sealy Swan. It already had, it was a youth camp out there, and it already had six buildings on it. So they leased that, and it's been closed down for 15 years. So they've been redoing the water and plumbing and electrical and changing it from oil heat to gas heat in all these buildings, putting beds in them. And it's a camp retreat, and it's going to work into a learning center for veterans where they'd like to have programs out there. So it's been taking on different phases, and you can find more information about the different phases on our website. But they have veterans go out there every weekend and work out there. We had a work crew. It was called Wood Winterization. We had over 60 volunteers come out for the weekend, and they cleaned the yards, and they brought out sawmills, and they were cutting some of the logs into usable lumber. So next year we can use that to put up some pavilions and stuff so it can make camping a little more enjoyable. And then the rest of the wood they took and made into firewood. And then we have a full dining hall in there, seats at least 150. And then we have a full kitchen, a commercial kitchen. So we're fixing that up, and they got new bathroom doors up, and that's all ready to go.
Now that's a lot of work. yeah, and you get a lot of volunteer, too. Just bless them all for us, okay? You can find out more at veteransfoodpantry.org. Or search Northwest Montana Veterans Stand Down and Food Pantry. You guys continue to serve. I think it's a blessed organization, and I'm so thankful for what you guys do up there. And we'll keep in touch, okay? Camp Ponderosa, as that moves forward, I want to hear more about that, Cinnamon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on today, and thank you guys for doing this event for our veterans, and have a happy Veterans Day.
Thank you. Nicely done. Cinnamon Davis Hall. We'll take a break. Al Ward is with us, and we'll come on back after. This is the Marines hymn. Now, no, yeah. We all should probably stand up.
Yeah.
All right. We're back with more in a bit.
Do you want to get ahead?
Want to improve your life?
Start earning a two-year associate degree in more than 25 programs. Fort Peck Community College is a tribally chartered post-secondary institution open to everybody. And we invite you to come check it out for yourself in person. Fort Peck Community College is ready to provide you the power of connection, culture, and community to shape your future. Your success is our goal at Fort Peck Community College. Register now.
All right, we're back, and real quickly, before we run out of time, Al Ward is with us from AARP Montana. They've been honoring veterans this month, and you've got a lot of services to kind of talk here in a short time. I apologize for that. But start there on how you guys, especially the navigation site.
You know, AARP has put together a program called Veterans, Military, and Their Families. It has a website, which is aarp.org/veterans. Montana has a landing page for veterans also. It's aarp.org/mtvets.
What does it do?
Basically, it has all the information about the stuff that I'm going to talk about. It has other information of things that people need to know about. Especially, Rich Nason is one of our volunteers from Helena, and he put together a journal. He's a combat veteran from Vietnam, and he found it worthwhile for him to journal things. So he put a journal together that is an open journal. It has questions. It has his comments about his experience. But it's a way to move forward through your war history and maybe come to grips with some of the things that happened. He has some really interesting stuff in it. But if you go on that MT Vets in Montana, his journal is on there, and you can get a copy of it from there.
And you guys offer that. I've heard good things about it. Rich Nason, this guided journal. We'll talk more, Al, about what you guys do for veterans. It's very much appreciated. AARP Montana, the navigation site, and go there for that journal as well. It's, thank you for your service, and happy birthday, Marie.
Thank you.
Thanks to Scott Fredericks for being here as well, a friend of mine for a long time, Eric Young in studio as well, and thanks to Perkins here in Billings. We will see you tomorrow.